Joseph Epstein is a self-described snob. But according to Epstein, we're all snobs. It's just a question of what kind of snob you are. Epstein's written a book about the subject. It's called Snobbery, the American Version. And he told Anne Strainchamps about his discovery of a new kind of snobbery.
You know, I first noticed it in my wife's and my own social life. Suddenly something happened with cooking. Cooking got very ambitious. We would go out to people's homes. One day, not a close friend, but kind of acquaintance really, a woman in the midst of serving this very ambitious five-course meal offered us ginger, bits of ginger between the second and third course to refresh our palates. You probably never had a tired palate. You don't know what hell it is. So there was all of that. And then someone saying, well, you know, we went there last week. She served us iceberg lettuce. And then people would serve veal, which is politically incorrect. So there was a kind of snobbery about that. Then suddenly I noticed people started naming their children in ways they never had before. They had, you know, the names of professions, Hunter, Porter, Cooper, you know, not to speak of Tiffany, Brittany, Kimberly. In the novel Heartburn by Nora Ephron, one of the characters said he claims he went out with the first Jewish Kimberly. I don't know. That was probably 1961, I suppose. But people start naming their children with these names that are really fitter for objects for the mantelpiece or something.
But it's not just the names that people choose for children these days. Mm-hmm. You know, they're, mm-hmm. What's the title mm-hmm. of that book, Toilet Trained for Yale?
Well, that's the next thing. Suddenly, everyone is taking their children on these grand tours of colleges, you know, while they're juniors or seniors in high school. And astonishing conversations about the most remote differences between Williams and Amherst are taking place, you know. And my chapter on this subject is called A Son at Tufts, A Daughter at Taffeta.
But this sounds like a throwback to the old days of the WASPs with the emphasis on the Ivy League colleges. I thought we'd gotten past that.
Well, I don't think so, because the WASPs got into the Ivy League colleges. They didn't have to worry about it. Whereas, you know, the children nowadays have to take 22 SAT refresher courses and the rest of it. If one's children get in, one is suddenly a great success in life, you know. So I'm someone who's taught for the last 30 years at Northwestern, which is sort of a, you know, at the lower end of the better schools, I'd say. On the U.S. News report, it's always a ninth or 14th or some number like that. So I know how thin education is. Do you know? It's really very thin. If it's not, you know, hard scientific education, it's pretty thin stuff. But it works. If you can say to me, you know, my daughter's at Harvard, my son's at Princeton. You have a very good snobbish coin to work with.
But, you know, people have always been ambitious for their children. They've always wanted their children to have better lives than they did. How is snobbery different?
Well, I think that it's different if you use it against other people. That is to say, if you're scoring points with it. It's one thing to have a child who's just good at school and she gets into what the world thinks is superior institutions, and you just are pleased. It's another thing if you subtly use it against me, you know, and then one can feel that kind of thing. I don't know if you have children or not, mm-hmm. but let's assume you have a daughter and you tell me, you know, Felicia's going to Arizona State. They have such a good photojournalism program there. And I say, oh, how nice for Felicia. You know, my own Abington is doing art history at Trinity College, Dublin. She earlier had, you know, gone to Princeton. Arizona State must be a nice place, I imagine, you know, in the winter.
Now, that's articulated snobbery.
But, absolutely.
But don't you think that there's
your response should be to punch me out. Right
there. But don't you think there's a kind of unarticulated inner snobbery that's sort of a response to social insecurity. You might not be rude as to say to me, my mm-hmm. own Abington is at Harvard, but you might go home chortling and rubbing your hands together thinking, I'm so glad my daughter's not at Arizona State.
Well, there's that. You know, I talk in the book about various kinds of snobbery, and there's the snob who is established or feels himself established and who feels he has the right to look down at people who aren't. There's the snob who is fighting to get to the celestial city on the hill and is fawning and sucking up at places that he thinks it'll do him some good. There's the reverse snob. That's the snob who, you know, decides where the snobs are and won't go there in any, no matter what. Yogi Berra, who's not a snob in any way that I know, sort of captured the spirit of the reverse snob when he once said of a restaurant, "It's so damn crowded, nobody goes there anymore." Hmm. You know, that's the kind of reverse. But then there's another kind of snob, and this is the kind of, well, there are two other kinds. One is the active snob, you know, the sort that you just remarked when I gave that Arizona State Abington at Harvard business. That's the active snob who's got to make you feel the sting of your own inferiority. But then there's another kind of snob, which is the sort of snob that I still am and would like to cease being, the Walter Mitty snob. His snobbery is in his mental life. He's not saying anything to anyone. He doesn't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable, but the fact is he still feels snobbish emotions and feelings. An example, at Ravinia, the music festival outside Chicago this past summer, there was a concert of Gershwin being played by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And I thought to myself, well, Gershwin, you know, he's not the very best, but he's pretty darn good, and the Chicago Symphony is a superior orchestra. You know, should I go there? And then I thought to myself again, I said, you know, I think the audience is going to be composed of everyone on the North Shore of Chicago who owns a $3,000 watch and has a wife with a Prada purse. I'm not going. Now, that's Walter Mitty snobbery, you know. What difference should it make if the crowd is not my crowd? But I have these terrible snobbish thoughts. But, you know, I'm only 65, and I'm reforming every day.
I guess I was also sort of thinking that if it was easier in some ways in the old days when we had this aristocracy, you know, and thought, well, I'm not a duke. I'll never be a duke. Nobody right. in my family is ever going to be a duke, so I'll just be happily middle class.
Right.
You know, the celebrity is our form of the aristocracy, but it's hard because anybody could become a celebrity. They were once, you know, one of us.
Exactly. And now that we have talk shows and the rest of it, we know how thin the celebrities are. You know, and I think of the old line of movie stars, for example. We didn't know whether Gary Cooper was a dummy or not. You know, he was just this elegant man. We didn't know if Betty Grable was a nitwit. Now we know. They're nitwits and dummies. I mean, not those people, but the new lineup of movie stars and such. And we should calm down about it, but people don't. When I was in Europe, I was at a restaurant on this tour, a place called the Hotel Soccer, S-A-C-H-E-R, famous for its soccer tort. And as I was getting my coat, lo, who walked into the lobby? Walter Cronkite. And that was the way it was, you know? And people on this tour just went absolutely nutty. Walter, it's Walter Cronkite. Look, it's Walter Cronkite. And here's this you know, this man who is mostly an assemblage of platitudes, near as I can make out, having watched him for years and years. And that's the way it was. you know, but there was some magic to him, and people fall for that. Mm. Nothing one can do.
Is everyone snobby about something, do you think?
I would say that the preponderance of people will find some mode of being superior, if only even thinking that I am less snobbish than the next person. A snobbery of its own kind.
Joseph Epstein is the author of Snobbery, the American Version. He spoke with Anne Strainchamps.